This is Matt Nelson, and this is City Daily, a Lent podcast. I want to start our time together by reading a passage from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." I don't know if you've ever imagined what it would be like to be in the crowds following Jesus. Like, what would you have done? What would your response to the miracles and the teachings of Jesus have been? Would you follow it along with what everybody else was doing? Would you have responded to Jesus' call to come and follow him? Would you have followed him even when the teachings got hard and difficult? Would you have walked away when things didn't seem to fit your agenda, your plan, or your way of seeing the world? I often think to myself, what would I have done? When we read stories, sometimes we always put ourselves in the middle of the story and we assume that we're the hero, or we always make the right decision. But honestly, I think there was a fine line between those who on the Sunday of Palm Sunday waved those branches and screamed and yelled, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and those a week later who would cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." What would you have done? What would I have done? John chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter. It takes us on this incredible journey of highs and lows. It takes us on a journey of being with the crowds as they're growing. You can imagine people are coming to see Jesus and hear him teach, and they realize he teaches with such authority that more and more people want to hear. And then people are bringing the poor, the demon-possessed, the mute, the lame. And they're watching these miracles take place. You can imagine people running back to their villages and their towns, and they're saying, "You have to see this. I can't even describe to you what I just saw. You have to come witness it yourself." And the crowds begin to grow and grow and grow. In John chapter 6, we see that there's as many as 5,000 men plus thousands of other women and children who are gathered on this countryside near the Sea of Galilee. One day as it gets late, the disciples look to Jesus and they say, "Man, we need to send everybody back to their towns and their homes because they need to eat and we don't have enough food here." And this is where we get the story of Jesus taking the bread and the fish, multiplying it and feeding the thousands. Jesus does what he often does, and after a while he goes off to a solitary place, or he goes off with the disciples, but the crowds want more. They want more. They've never experienced something like this. They've never seen this kind of miracles and heard this kind of teaching. And so they continue just to try to locate where Jesus is. And eventually, they find him. The last sections of John chapter 6 is where the story turns. As Jesus looks at the crowd and he understands that they're no longer just kind of curious and wanting to know more about the kingdom that he's teaching. Now, they want to eat again. They want to see another miracle. In fact, in John chapter 6, verse 30, so they asked Jesus, the crowds, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert." Now it's almost like Jesus had become a carnival show, an act. Everybody wanted to come and see. But Jesus doesn't once again perform a miracle with bread and fish. He looks at the crowd and says, "I am the bread of life. And whoever wants to eat from me or drink from me, you'll never hunger again, you'll never thirst again." See, this is where it gets difficult, because this is not what the crowd wanted to hear. They came for a show. They came to see more. They had their own agenda, their way of seeing the world, and they wanted Jesus to fit within that while also demonstrating this power and these miracles. But that's not what Jesus came to do. In fact, it gets even more difficult. In verse 53 of John chapter 6, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now, today we struggle to understand the implications of this, but to a mostly Jewish audience, this would have been a rather provocative language that would have stirred up images and emotions that seemed to go against everything they believed. What was Jesus saying? You came, you saw, you witnessed, you heard the message, you've seen the miracles, and now it's time to decide. What will you do? Will you walk away because I don't fit within the box of your understanding or your future or your plans? Will you submit your life and surrender everything to me and enter into the kingdom through faith? The last section of John chapter 6 may be one of the most difficult passages we get anywhere. Verse 60 says, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?' And they begin to murmur and grumble and complain." Verse 66, one of the most sad passages in the New Testament, says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." So I ask the question again, what would we have done while in the crowd? See, the crowd is really unique because the crowd gets us to do things and to say things, maybe even believe things that normally we wouldn't believe. We begin to lose our own identity and we take on the identity of the crowd or a charismatic leader or an influential thought or idea. We always assume that we would stand up for truth and we would follow Jesus no matter what, but imagine how difficult it would have been that day. Jesus turns to the 12 disciples. "Do you want to leave as well? Does this message offend you?" To which good old Simon Peter, "Jesus, where would we go? Where would we turn? We've given everything we have to follow you." My prayer for you and for me during this season of Lent is that we stop and evaluate our discipleship to Jesus. When things get hard, when suffering comes our way, when life doesn't go according to plan, what's our response? "Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you take me, wherever you go, whatever I have to endure, I'm yours." Or do we get offended and walk away because there's things we're holding on to? I pray that we would hold all things loosely in this season of Lent. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and follow him to the cross, no matter the cost. Amen.